You're listening to Donuts and Tap Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Thank you for sticking with us. It's episode 28. My name is John Grigas.
And mine is Joshua Crawley.
And first of all, I'd like to thank you for listening. We know that there's a lot of choices out there. There are more podcasts out every day. I can't keep up with it myself. I fall so far behind. So I appreciate the fact that you're giving us your time. And in exchange, we are promising to keep our episodes right around half an hour, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. But thanks for fitting us into your day or your commute.
Half an hour, which is funny because I think we started out saying, oh, it'll be like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And we just keep, well, I'm only going to make myself guilty of this because I'm probably much worse than just babbling incessantly like I am right now. But
yeah, but my word count is probably a little higher than it should be. But before then, I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank Westfield Comics. Westfield Comics has two locations in Madison, Wisconsin, one on the east side on Williamson Street and another one on the west side just off of Mineral Point Road. Westfield can also be found online. You can get a discount on your subscription service to your door service at westfieldcomics.com. Also want to thank Drive Through Comics, which provides some prizes for us and some other things. It's a good source if you're needing your comics digitally or if you want to dip your toe in the digital water. Get your paper copies from Westfield. Get your digital copies from Drive Through Comics. I mention them specifically because right now they are selling Top Cow books for $1.99. So you can get artifacts 1 through 8 for only $1.99 each, which is a pretty good value because those early issues are kind of hard to find in paper. You got to really go hunting for them.
Those are all PDFs, right?
They are all PDFs, so you can read them on just about any device. And then also artifacts, if you'd rather read the trades, you can go to westfieldcomics.com or your Westfield store, and you can pick up artifacts in trade format. I know number one is out. Number two is going to ship pretty soon, or is it already shipped?
I should have probably checked the date before we started, the currently scheduled date. Yeah, we can include that in show notes or something.
Yeah, we'll do a link
currently
to that.
Currently scheduled date.
I don't really watch the trade paperback release schedule because I'm pretty much all floppies with Top Cow, so I get the issues as they come out, and I recommend you do the same, but if you need to catch up, the trades are really cool, and both the issues and the trades have a lot of extra content, so that's makes it worth grabbing.
Phil Smith makes the trades gorgeous to look at. Not that the single issues are bad to look at, but they got ads, and I'm not a fan of storing ads these days, so yeah. They look nice on a bookshelf.
So we're going to have kind of a free and easy episode this time. We're going to talk about some news. We're going to walk through previews. We've got some announcements to make. The next thing I want to point out...
I'm going to cut you off real quick.
Yeah, go.
Another sponsor, unofficial sponsor for me today is Sugar-Free Amp Energy, which I had one of these about 2 weeks ago. Because for some reason I was just jonesing for something sweet to drink, and I'm like, oh, it's cheap. And
what's it taste like?
It's, you know, a citrusy thing. It has the Mountain Dew logo on it, but honestly, it tastes better than Mountain Dew.
Really? So it's like not as syrupy sweet as Mountain Dew?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's, you know, the sugar free, so there's who knows what other chemicals in it, but.
Well, it says high power and donuts today. We got some donuts and
donuts.
We got mini donuts from Starbucks Coffee. These are what they call their birthday cake donuts. And because of the homogenization of our world, you can get these at the Starbucks in your town if you are in the United States. I'm not sure what they're doing internationally. But
they
it's
have
like a
pink
little mini
frosting.
Yeah, it's a little mini pink donuts with little white bonbon things on them.
So before I take a bite of this, I'm going to guess that this is raspberry flavored because it doesn't look artificial strawberry flavored. I suppose it is sort of artificial strawberry starburst colored.
Yeah, it's more...
I like raspberries better than strawberries.
I don't know. Identify it. It's definitely not raspberry. It's like an imitation of fake strawberry flavor.
I don't even taste that.
Yeah, it's really faint. It's really...
Really, I think it would have been better without the frosting. I mean, if they could have found some way to...
Yeah.
Maybe when they were par-baked, get the sprinkles kind of just on the surface without having to use syrup to keep them on there, I'd have been a fan of that. But
yeah, it's nondescript. It's just it's a little. We don't recommend it. I guess is pretty clear to see from the look on your face and from my opinion that it's probably cost way too much. A lot more than a donut should cost. I think they're like $3 for $2 or something like that for these little mini donuts.
No.
So we're not fans.
I do.
That.
I don't mind the cake part, but yeah, the frosting's just. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to finish eating it. Don't get me wrong, but.
And we've had some interesting activity. One thing I want to point out, if you go to Facebook, find the Top Cow site. If you listen to this show, you're probably already liking the Top Cow page on Facebook. If not, go up into the search and put in Top Cow, and you'll find the Top Cow Productions. And
or if you already like us on Facebook, we have liked them.
Right.
So you can just be like, oh, hey, look, there are things Donuts and Top Cow likes. Top Cow is one of the first ones for, go figure, obvious reasons.
That's, I think, a better way to do it. So go to Facebook, find our page at Donuts and Top Cow, and we spell it D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T-S, the proper donut spelling.
A-N-D-T-O-P-C-O-W.
Yeah, well, we make it work a little bit, but it's worth the find. And it does come up pretty easy in search. And in fact, if you just type in the word donuts and hit the search, we come up as one of the top choices. So like us, and then look on our links, and you'll see Top Cow's page. But on Top Cow's page, they just expanded their posting of San Diego Comic-Con pictures. And I recommend you go over and check that out. There's some nice cosplay. The first picture on there is Mark Silvestri draped by a Aphrodite 4 cosplayer and a Witchblade cosplayer, and they look mighty good.
Sounds like a rough life.
Yeah, he did. He looked like he was pretty happy surrounded by some of his creations, so that was pretty good.
Do you know, I wouldn't mind if anyone wanted to sponsor this podcast to go out to San Diego next year. I know it's not going to happen, but I figure if I don't ask, it's really not going to happen. Cool. So
we can put out the collection. Yeah. Send Josh there for some real-time updates. So, yeah, but definitely look through their pictures. They look fun. They don't have anything up from Baltimore yet as of this recording, but I know they had a table at Baltimore, so we might be able to see some similar stuff a little later.
I know my Westfields coworker, Roger Ash, I'm pretty sure he puts together all the panels for Baltimore. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Some year I'll be like, hey, Roger, get me in close up on that panel.
We got to, yeah, let's play that angle. Maybe Baltimore
of course,
the next year.
But then someone's going to have to send us to Baltimore.
Yeah. We could stow away with Roger, maybe.
Not likely.
Well, from Wisconsin, Baltimore is a little easier and cheaper to get to than San Diego, probably. We can get the.
The one thing I do know is flights from Detroit are absurdly expensive, which boggles my mind.
That is strange.
It is more expensive to fly from Detroit to Madison than to actually have a layover in Detroit on the way to Madison.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's about.
Boo airlines.
Yeah, that's I never figure out there. And it's funny because I'm in the hotel business, so we model a lot of our pricing schemes on what the airlines do, but it's still kind of hard to follow sometimes.
Yeah. Though, of course, real quick, too, if anyone did happen to want to sponsor something, sponsorships of getting me into conventions is not needed. That I can usually do as a authorized buying agent for Westfield Comics. I actually usually get free admission to conventions.
So we're just looking for like hitchhiking supplies in a flop house, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Actually, you know what I want to do? I meant to do this earlier. Not that I want to not thank everyone who listens, but especially the people that listen in the summer because holy cow, I did not realize it, and I don't take it personally, but downloads go down drastically for the month of, like, July and August. It, like, insanely. Like, not that we have thousands of listeners, but we're in triple digits, you know? What is it, like, 300-ish?
Yeah, it's probably around.
July was down to, like, half of that.
Yeah.
And
I was energized by that. I thought that was fine.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, I'm not going to be all like, grr, but I'm especially thankful. Of course, then again, some of those people might have just downloaded and not listened anyways.
Well, and there is somebody who's listening to this in February 2012, and I want to thank them for listening to us today.
Yes. Thank you, February 2012. And I just want to point out, January 2013. or as I like to call it, 2013, we will still be here because that whole, December 21st, 2012.
Oh, we're doing that again?
End of the world, blah.
Is that the next level?
I still see people cry about that. It's like, you know, complaining about that or, that's the end of the world and predicting that is no different than saying, than predicting the end of the world at like, not that I think, well, I'm going to go with, I'm 98% sure the Gregorian calendar wasn't around in the year 999 AD. On December 31st,
yeah.
But that's kind of like saying, oh, the world's going to end then. No, it's not. Just add another group of digits, people.
It's silly. That's just, you know, it's just wishful thinking on your part, and I applaud the optimism. So we have received some email. We've been in email contact. I'm really excited about this.
Email.
We received an email from the longtime letterer for Top Cow. Just about, if you have Top Cow books in your collection, if you're reading Top Cow, you are reading this man's work.
If it was as of about, I want to say, what, 2003?
I'd say anything in the last 5 to 10 years, chances are excellent.
Well, because remember, in that one volume of Witchblade, volume one of Ron's stuff, there's actually...
Right.
What is it, issue 83, 84 was where the change happened.
And he's been on since then, and it. We did receive notice from him, and I guess we're going to open up with a really quick apology and a public announcement that if you have been pronouncing this man's last name, we're pretty sure you've been pronouncing it wrong.
Unless you know him.
That's right. So it's pronounced Troy Petrie.
I like the dish.
Right. And it's not... I guess I apologize to him because we didn't pronounce it right up till this moment on our show. I regret that. But just looking at it, it is spelled P-E-T-E-R-I. It's pronounced Petrie. And that isn't the natural first pronunciation when you read it, although now it will be for me. So in any case, we have been in touch with Troy. And Troy is a great guy. He's also from Wisconsin originally.
Oh, yeah, Wisconsin.
So the cool news there is that he comes back and visits once in a while. There is a chance that he'll be coming around sometime in the next month or two, and if he does, we're definitely going to work hard to get him on the show. We'd love to hang out with him and eat some donuts. He did identify himself as a donut fan. I asked him what his favorites were, and his opinion, I think it's a pretty reasonable opinion. His favorite donut is the plain, uninteresting kind, he says. But then he goes on to describe some great donuts. He says he likes a powdered sugar or a honey dip, anything, a honey dip like the chocolate glaze that you would get at like a Dunkin' Donuts or a chocolate old-fashioned glazed. And basically, though, any donut is a good donut except the ones with coconut on it. And I'm on his side of the table on that one.
For some reason, it just occurred to me that a plain donut isn't really that bad. It's kind of what you make of it, kind of like a blank canvas. And sometimes you just need a blank canvas to, you know, like a palate cleanser.
I guess so. And sometimes you take that blank canvas and you ruin it with pink frosting and some dots and try to sell it for double what you should be selling it
but
for.
But sometimes you put maple-flavored glaze on it. It's so tasty.
Well, and that's another thing that he said. He does have in parentheses talking about donuts, maple. So we're definitely going to have fun sharing some donuts with Troy. We're looking forward to meeting him and having him on the show. We've got some stuff we want to kick around. Plus, as he says, he's done the lettering for... He says he's lettered 97% of recent Top Cow comics over the last few years. So he knows a little bit about the subject. I did ask him what stories he really likes to work on more and if he loses himself in the stories. He really loves Witchblade. He loves working on the Ron Mars Witchblade and saying that he knows that he loves it because he's found himself lettering at 3 a.m. and being fully happy and satisfied doing so, to the point where he has lettered issues of Witchblade on his parents' kitchen table while he's on vacation. And that's how much fun it is for him to dive into these stories.
That that came up in an email, actually. We exchanged emails, I don't even know how long ago that was. Maybe 8 months ago. At one point we exchanged emails. But he had mentioned lettering at his parents' kitchen table. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's great. And he definitely puts out props for... He just loves working on all the Top Cow books. He says that consistently they have a high quality. He really enjoyed doing the Echoes, so if you get a chance to pick up the Echoes hardcover, that's getting a lot of good buzz right now, and that's a good series, and he enjoyed doing that one. He has some. He believes that the most underrated artist in the business is Kenneth Rocafort, which I guess I would agree with that. Really likes working. You know, you just can't go wrong with Ron Mars, Phil Hester, Joss Fialkoff, and I think that's probably true.
Kenneth is wow. I don't know if last time we talked about something he worked on.
Well, we talked about talking about Velocity, and we haven't done that yet. So
yeah, so maybe it was. Was it maybe when we looked at Cyberforce Hunter Killer? I might have mentioned how I even remember when I first read that, how amazing I thought the artwork was. And then after seeing Velocity, I was blown away all over again and surprised when I went back and looked that even though he was great on that crossover miniseries, that the Velocity miniseries just upped it again. But hopefully with, you know, him doing Action Comics with Paul Cornell now, that there's... Oh, and he's going to be doing Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Right. Which, that's a pretty good book for him, I think.
September 2011, because I know what year it is.
A semi-dysfunctional team book is a good fit for his artwork, I think, so...
A non-team team book?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope he can keep getting some Top Cow work in the future. I do enjoy what he's doing, but we are going to be keeping an eye on him, because I agree, he's really good. So thanks, Troy Petrie. We're gonna We're gonna have you on the show. As we've said, and if you've heard previous episodes, we're big fans of Troy and his work, and looking forward to meeting him in person.
Yes,
Josh. What kind of stuff does Troy have coming out in a couple of months?
Oh, any book from Top Cow?
Pretty much. So we're gonna walk through previews, let you know what you need to be pre-ordering,
and. Oh, you know what? Of course, well, this won't be a horrible, horrible time. I just realized that it's orders on this stuff for retailers is due probably about the time that this will actually go live. But thanks to the joys of final order cutoffs, usually most of the premier publishers, you can sneak in orders a little later. I know you can at westfieldcomics.com. Also, don't forget, if you are in town and try and Google Westfield Comics and you find a Middleton location... I wouldn't recommend trying to call there or visit there if you want to actually buy comic books, because that's our warehouse location, and there's no retail spot there, because we would have told you.
Right, and that's the fun of playing with yellow pages and listings, is that you come out. So this is your stat order. We're trying it a little differently this time, because a lot of us may start our order early in the month, and then we like to place it on the last day just so we can kick around, see how the budget's looking, stuff like that. So when you hear this, we're hoping that it's late August 2011 or the first few days of September 2011, and you can get on this today. And there's some important books on here. And I think there are high-profile enough books that they're going to be at your retailer. If you don't end up pre-ordering it, I think that you're not going to get caught unawares on it, but I do think any kind of mention you can make to your retailer helps more copies of these Top Cow books get in the store.
Yes, it does. If you're a creator, I know it seems like a lot to contact the alleged 3,000 accounts with Diamond that are retailers, but honestly, the number that are more likely to interact with you are probably at the higher end of that 3,000. Not that I know how dealing with Diamond helps, but you know, contact Comics Pro. Because those are generally going to be the retailers that are going to be a little more active in wanting to help promote things. It seems kind of like it helps with that one-stop shopping, whereas, like for me as a retailer, there's 400 pages in here, and if I have to research every single one of those creative teams, if someone even sends me a cold email and says, hey, this is my thing, here's some stuff, you want to do a little more, let me know, it's like, oh, okay, this person is reaching out, someone I can work with, whereas... You don't reach out, it's kind of tough because, like I said, there's 400 pages of creative teams in here.
Yeah, and you would hope that creators would be able to just create, but I've seen Ron Mars tweet about his schedule, and he spends probably his morning replying to emails and just promoting his books out there or doing interviews or talking, and it unfortunately does take that kind of outreach, because it's not a business that if you build it, they will come. even bat books struggle. So, you know, you just got to get out and get some buzz about it. So it's not something that I envy, but it's also, you know, if you're in business, whatever your industry is, you've got to sell yourself a little bit too. And Josh is great. So same thing with you. If you love a book and you're worried about whether it'll be there or not, definitely let your retailer know so they get in the store.
Yeah, it's that personal touch. It really helps. All right, I'm done preaching. On to August 2011 previews, issue number 275. Page 178 is not a Top Cow book, but the story is by Josh Fialkov. Cover B is by Philip Hester.
So really strong Top Cow ties there.
Tomorrow, not that we're going to specify necessarily when tomorrow is, but tomorrow is Phil's birthday.
Happy birthday, Phil.
Alrighty.
Belated, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
Josh will tweet out some messages to you tomorrow, but
yeah, I had to email him yesterday, so I gave him an early happy birthday there. All right. The Last of the Greats, number one, The Deal, part one. There were seven possessing the power of gods and representing all that could be right with the world. But now he is the last. As humanity stands on the brink of annihilation, he is our only hope. And he hates us for what we've done to him. From the Eisner and Harvey Award-nominated writer of Echoes, Tumor, and Elk's Run comes a dynamic new take on how far mankind will stoop to survive. Page 182. Also not a Top Cow book, but anyone who's probably listened to me babble on and on about stuff sometimes would know that I'm a fan of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund and the Hero Initiative. Not a fan that they have to exist, but of the work that they do. And here we have the Liberty Annual 2011.
Which is awesome.
But the second person listed for a writer is J. Michael Straczynski, who has kind of done some stuff, a couple things you might have heard of, with Top Cow.
A lot of big names go into the Liberty Annual.
Mark
I like
Wade.
To pick a barrier.
Yeah, I mean, I could list all these names off, but let's be honest, I'm not going to. But yeah, so, you know, Straczynski... who did I just say? I can't even remember. Oh, Mark Wade. So, you know, there we got a couple guys who have done some work with Top Cow.
J.H. Williams III is doing some great work right now on Batwoman.
Oh, gorgeous work. Artists, we've got, let's see here, Chris Mitten.
Jeff Lemire,
Riley Rossmo, Frank Quitely, Joel Jones.
Oh, Joel Jones.
Greg Land, Greg Horn.
Her stuff is beautiful.
Oh, Dustin Nguyen. All right, that cements it. I will have a copy of this book because...
Ivan Haish.
Man, this is my pleading with Top Cow. Please get Dustin Nguyen to draw a book. Please. The Facing Page, page 183, Artifacts Origins One Shot, collects all of those awesome two-page origin stories written by Ron Mars, drawn by a lineup of artists including Mark Silvestri, Dale Keown, Bart Sears, Michael Golden, Wells Portasio, Michael Broussard, Jeremy Hahn, John Tyler Christopher, and more. Ooh, and page 184, Pilot Season. Pilot Season, The Test, number one. Josh Fialkov, Rasan Ekedal, I think I totally just slaughtered that. Cover by Begas Hutomo of IFS. Let's see here. A group of strangers wake up in an enclosed environment with no memory of who they are, nor how they got there. They're the lone survivors of an apocalyptic event chosen to repopulate the Earth. But what is the true nature of their fate? Pilot Season, City of Refuge, number one. Story by Morgan Davis Foehl. I'm going to assume that's how F-O-E-H-L is pronounced. Art and cover by Dennis Calero. Over a decade after Terminal, the residents of San Francisco live a peaceful and prosperous existence thanks to the program. Every resident of the city is hand-selected and implanted with the chip Secura, which removes the human capacity for violence to maintain the greater good. Only the city's security forces are allowed a brief reprieve from Secura through use of the drug Freestone in order to do their jobs. Yeah, just what we need to do. Oh, no one else can use violence, but we need violence sometimes to do our job. Now, rumors of Freestone getting out into the open market threaten to upset the delicate balance keeping humanity from extinction. Right off the bat, that one, I definitely am going to want to read. The Beauty, number one. Story by Jeremy Hahn and Jason A. Hurley. Art by Jeremy Hahn. Modern society is obsessed with outward beauty. What if there was a way to guarantee you could become more and more beautiful every day? Well, I can't get any more beautiful. What if it was contagious? In the world of the beauty, physical perfection is attainable, and while the mass majority of the population has taken advantage of it, Detectives Foster and Vaughn will soon discover it comes with a terrible price. Flesh Digger number one. Shannon Eric Denton and Brad Keane do the story. Art by Alex Sanchez. Cover by Francisco Francavilla. A random act of kindness can be damning. When a man witnessed the ruthless beating of an innocent woman, he rushed to help her and was brutally murdered for his trouble. Now driven by revenge, sorrow, and guilt, the woman in Nack's arcane forces to resurrect him. From out of the earth he'll rise, a twisted, worm-riddled monstrosity forced to carry out vengeance to maintain whatever life he has left, all while confronting the unimaginable truth of his new, hideous existence. Is he forever damned to be a rotting monster driven by an insatiable bloodlust, or is it possible to shed the curse and return to normal? The torment belongs to the living nightmare they'll call Flesh Digger. God help anyone who gets in his way. Creepy. Not the bad kind of creepy. Yeah, those books all sound pretty fantastic.
They really do, and typical with Top Cow, and it's one of the reasons why I'm such a big Top Cow fan, is you really hit a lot of different genres. You hit a lot of different types of stories. If you're not into horror or anything like that, there's something else for you. It's just really good offerings.
Yeah. Page 185, Witchblade number 151, story by Tim Seeley. For the reduced price of only $2.99. The new creative team of Tim Seeley and Diego Bernard bring excitement and big changes to Sarah Pizzini's world with this debut Jump On issue. That sounds a little kinky. Forever altered by the events of Artifact, Sarah finds herself in a completely foreign situation and surroundings. The mystery of how and why will compel readers for the coming year and beyond. Ooh, there's also retailer incentives available.
Oh, nice.
Ask your retailer for more information.
I'm going to be asking you for some more information soon, but
People are totally going to listen to this episode, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, never let Josh drink that stuff again.
It gets all amped up.
Or they're going to be like, oh, my God, have him drink that every time before you record.
We'll have to turn that into a contest.
Page 188, Artifacts, Volume 3, Trade Paperback. Art by Jeremy Hahn in issues 9 through 12 and issue 13 by Dale Keown, covered by Dale Keown. I'm sure at this point we don't have to tell you what Artifacts is about, but hey, in case you haven't heard, it's an ongoing series now. Last Mortal Hardcover, story by John Mahoney and Philip Sablik, art and cover by Thomas Nechlik. I probably slaughtered those names too. Revenge Never Dies. Alec King is a small-time thief and con man who has always run away from responsibility. When he and his partner get in over their heads after being blackmailed into becoming hitmen, and his partner is killed in the process, Alec tries to escape one last time. Alec attempts to take his own life, only to discover he cannot die. What would you do if you had nowhere left to run? It's a nice digest-size hardcover that'll look really nice next to another Minotaur Press book, Echoes.
Yeah, I can't recommend Last Mortal enough. It really is I'm really liking that book. So if you missed it in the floppies, definitely get that hardcover. You can get it from your retailer. Like I say, you can still order it if you're listening to this show soon after it comes out. Or this is the type of thing you'll be able to get on Amazon.com or another online service. But Westfield.com will be able to get it for you as well. But pick it up. It's worth it. It's a good noir book. That is one of the books that I would get for Christmas for people. Every year I get hardcovers and trades for people who aren't necessarily into comics or don't know comics. And
hardcovers are really much easier to wrap.
That's true. And it's a good legit book. But a lot of people don't. If they haven't read comics, they don't realize that there's some really good stories there. That if you're reading noir novels, you need to read Last Mortal. So I'll be getting a few of those for people for Christmas this year.
Also, the lingerie / kids clothing boxes at the dollar store, usually in packs of a few, are good for wrapping soft covers. I mean, you need to put a little extra tissue paper in there. But, yeah. See, look, we even have Christmas suggestions for you. All purpose here at Donuts and Top Cow. Page 197, The Darkness, number 96. Story by Phil Hester. Art by Romano Molinar. Cover A by Jeremy Hahn. Cover B by Sheldon Mitchell. Celebrate the 15th anniversary of The Darkness. Since The Darkness first debuted 15 years ago, The Darkness itself and its headstrong bearer, Jackie Estacado, have often been at odds. Estacado is no saint, but The Darkness has crossed the line and to protect his family. Jackie will take the fight into the heart of The Darkness itself. Leading up to the landmark issue 100, longtime writer Phil Hester is joined by artist Romano Molinar for the stunning conclusion of his three-year run. Little heads up. Apparently, earlier this week, as I was sent a direct message via Twitter, Jeff Bone told me he runs the Hack/Inc. Twitter username account dealy thingy and runs a pretty great Hack/website. Sent me a message that apparently Mr. Ryan Mars let it slip in a Newsarama interview that David Hine, author of Darkness Four Horsemen, which takes place before Ron's run, featuring artwork by Jeff Wamester, who also did Frenemy of the State from Oni Press, is going to be the new writer of The Darkness.
That's a good match.
And him and Jeremy have worked together before on, was it Arkham Reborn, a couple issues of Detective Comics for a company named after Detective Comics. It was up. It was changed. It's not like we're probably telling something people maybe didn't find out already anyways, and maybe by the time you hear this, it's just not going to be news anymore. If you've stuck with me reading these all crazy this long in the random babbling I've been doing, ka-ching!
Props to you.
Page 202, Magdalena number 10. Story by Ron Mars, art by Nelson Blake II, David Marquez, Sal Regla, and colors by Dave McKeag. Back to monthly, according to the solicitation. I wouldn't mind if it switched to a once every 6 week schedule, but I'm an annoying retailer like that. Patience and Christoph's quest to recover a piece of the one true cross takes a deadly turn in Mexico. Will Patience be able to recover the familial relic, or will this mission make her just another statistic in a long line of Magdalenas? Mysterious Ways number 4 is on page 204 by Jason Rubin and Tyler Kirkham. This killer just saved your life. The truth shall set you free, and in this issue, the truth of Sam's life and deeds will be revealed to him. Page 208, also not a Top Cow book, but Shinku number 5 is written by someone you've maybe heard of, Ron Mars. Art and cover by the team of Lee Motor, Matthew Waite, and Michael Atiyah. I think I mispronounced that one and I actually heard it pronounced correctly someplace, but I completely forgot. Teen Wolf, Bite Me, number 2 on page 210. Scott is on the run as he tries to deal with life as a full-time werewolf. His mom, school, Allison, the team, the excuses are piling up and everyone wants to know what's wrong. Adding to the drama, Scott's arch-rival Jackson is using Scott's disappearance to try and poison Allison against him. It's up to Stiles to discover the truth. A bioengineered virus is causing Scott's condition. But who's behind the attack? And is there an antidote? That bioengineered thing kind of reminds me of... I saw Rise of Planet of the Apes the other night.
Did you?
Awesome.
Huh, I've heard good things about that.
Made me never want to own a pet because I'd be worried that I would get stuck with a pet that thought I wasn't nice to it or wouldn't be nice enough to be like, oh no, hey, now that we have intelligence, don't hurt this guy. He was one of the good ones. Because I'd like to think I'm one of the good ones. And that wraps up this... Holy cow, it seems like it's been a long episode of Random News Bits and looking through previews.
So thank you for listening. Have a great week. Oh, you got one more thing.
Did we mention Okie Dokie Donuts came out, which we covered in episode 21 and is not a Top Cow book and is not by the Chris Eliopoulos that is the Marvel letterer that lives, I believe, in New Jersey, but the Chris Eliopoulos that lives in the Chicago area, and it was published by Top Shelf, not Top Cow.
We didn't mention that, but I think we will. Okie Dokie Donuts is out now. It's a nice little hardcover. And we have Chris Eliopoulos on our wish list to talk to him about the Okie Dokie Donuts series. It does lend itself to more stories in the future. and hoping to get him on the podcast sometime if we go to C2E2 next year, maybe, or something like that. So that'll do it for us now. Have a great week.
Good journey.